Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we coming from our basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild top in the chart.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never going to get without the circus. I'm chilling in the
Welcome back to another episode of the podcast, Theanos. I'm Jordan Hall, and I'm joined, as always, by a man who is followed by a marching band constantly playing Hail to the Chief. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, did you have a good President's Day?
You know, I've been putting up my President's Day decorations all day and really celebrating with President's-themed foods. You know, the traditional President's Day foods, obviously.
Of course. Like pickled eggs.
Yeah.
Did you have the day off today?
Actually, everybody gets. Well, doesn't everybody? Of course, you know, to celebrate with their friends and family. President's Day is a ridiculous holiday. Let's end the ruse right now.
There are schools in this state that had today off. Like, what kids ever have today, Ollie? President's Day has to be the most random holiday. Like, there's so just a collection of, 45 men over the course of American history. Right? Today and their day.
There was one business that I needed to stop at, and then I remembered, yes, they were closed because it was President's Day. It's ridiculous.
Do you have a favorite president? I feel like you're the kind of guy who probably has a favorite president.
Calvin Coolidge.
Of course you do. Okay, tell us why Calvin Coolidge.
I don't know. His first name and last name start with the same letter, so you get some nice alliteration there.
I like that.
I think. I'll tell you why Calvin Coolidge is my favorite president. And I recently learned this from an interview that. What's the redheaded late night talk show host guy?
Conan O'Brien.
Conan.
Holy cow! You're old. Conan is an old man, and you're still too old to know who he is.
Man. Conan O'Brien had an interview, and he was quoting, my brain is screwed up. Who's the Mel Brooks.
I never would have helped you with that one, so I'm glad you came up with that.
Conan O'Brien was talking to Mel Brooks, and Mel Brooks told a story about how, you know, nothing really lasts forever. For instance, Mel Brooks went to go visit the grave of Calvin Coolidge. And Calvin Coolidge was a good president by all accounts, a very famous man. But when you showed up at his grave, there was nobody there. Nobody cares. Do you care about Calvin Coolidge?
I care about all life.
But the point Mel Brooks was trying to make, and it was kind of a comforting one, was, you know, all the work that you do, you know, it's you don't have to worry about fame or infamy for very long. That was this point.
Wow, that's actually super deep.
Yeah. And my dad would always say flippantly, 100 years, there's all new people. So you don't have to worry so much about stuff. You know, it helps you not to worry. So that's why Calvin Coolidge. That was deeper than what I was hoping for to start the show. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. So I don't know if you know this. I'm sure it'll probably take you as a little bit of a surprise based on how cool I am now. But I actually used to be a little bit of a president's nerd. I used to be able to name all of the presidents, like, in order. You could tell me 16, and I would say who it was and probably the years that they were in office.
Really?
Yeah. I can't do it now because I have other things in my brain because I have other interests now. But yeah, I was very, very into the presidents.
I'm working on memorizing Michigan's governors from start to finish.
That seems like a super useful skill.
Wouldn't that be a fun party trick? Just be like Stevens T. Mason, Woodbridge, Gordon.
Party trick. Ransom. I'm not sure I'm willing to give you an I quote, fun party trick. So,
it's
to each their own.
Very fun.
So anyway, it brings us to this week's leadoff question. If you were to run for president, who from Tiger's world, the sphere of all Tigers people, who would you pick as the vice president on your ticket?
Huh. I don't know. Nico, maybe?
Did you not think about this ahead of time? I gave you this ahead of time.
Yeah, but sometimes I don't work very hard.
That's fair. Okay.
I'm saying Nico.
Okay.
Nico.
It's pretty versatile.
He's from the South, and I'm from the North. Okay. Get those Southern votes. I don't know.
So I put significantly more thought into this to even it out. So I was thinking back, like, on the last several vices to see what kind of, qualities and prerequisites they had for the job. And honestly, we've had, like, a super eclectic group of vice presidents recently. So here's
the vice president has one job.
Don't
wait for you to die.
Yeah. So here's a list of some of the attributes some of our recent vices have had. Joe Biden, dude that everyone loved. We also had an old guy that shot people for fun. The literal inventor of the internet. Someone whose big contribution was throwing shade at broccoli. And a dude who played football at Michigan. Nobody in the Tigers sphere, ticks all of those boxes. So I went with somebody who was maybe a little more relatable. And at least in terms of nickname, had a little bit of political experience. So I went with the former mayor of Detroit, Sean Casey.
That's a solid choice. He's got political skills.
Now, I'm not sure if he earned that nickname, but, he was the mayor nonetheless.
He's a friendly, likable guy.
Yes.
I could see him as a good politician for sure.
Switch hitter. Kissing
babies and shaking hands.
Yeah, helps you reach on both sides of, both sides of things.
The aisle. Yeah, sure.
Sure. If you want to get in touch with us, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On the Instagram, I am at Jordinho4, Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And we would love it if you take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. And please leave us a review. We haven't had one in a while, and it's making our stock plummet amongst iTunes charts, and if it happens for long enough, all of our Spotify money will in fact dry up, and that's not what you want, is it?
No, we don't want to have Spotify basic like all the pores.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
So the boys have been back in camp about a week now, so let's do a brief rundown of some of the big stories before we get to the inevitable nonsense that will feature later in the show.
We have work to do. It's business.
Tigers arbitration avoidance streak is over after the 482 years that we had let it run. Michael Fulmer, of course, being the trailblazer. Wednesday, headed to the arbitration hearing. Wanted $3.4 million, ended up losing, and we're paying him $2.8 million. Interesting situation, huh?
Yeah, we held on to their streak for so long. Dombrowski was kind of proud of this. Avila kind of continued it. So, I suppose it was inevitable at some point the streak was going to be broken. But how do you feel being Michael Fulmer and just being like, okay, yeah, you're the guy we're going to file and trial with?
See, here's the thing that I was thinking of. Like, I feel like he is the type of character that can handle it. He clearly doesn't care. They carpooled up there, which is beyond weird, but that's neither here nor there. But I feel like using a character that can handle it like Michael Fulmer almost makes it kind of worse. Like, those are the characters that you shouldn't make handle such things. Like, I don't know. It's...
Do you think Fulmer's personality was a disadvantage for him?
Oh, I definitely think so.
if he would have kicked and screamed and been a little pissy baby about it, would they have settled for more money with him? Did they rely on his trust or his personality too much?
Probably. And too, as Avila is a businessman, obviously he's a talent evaluator and whatnot. And as a businessman, you know your assets. And obviously we haven't been around Michael Fulmer, and yet we know dude's probably not going to be too much of an issue. I don't know. You look at it on the surface, and we screwed around with probably our best asset over $600,000. Like, right. Had we just said, all right, dude, we'll give you the 3.4, that's fine. Like, I get that you can't just cave, but it seems like a dangerous game for less than $1 million to potentially piss off the number one asset we have in our arsenal.
Especially after such a lengthy track record of settling, of finding an agreement. And this could contribute to the narrative of the Tigers being a thrifty team. If you wanted to have that perspective and you wanted to find another piece of evidence that said we're just being cheap, you could add this to the evidence case file.
Yeah, for sure. And I think even more so than that is, this is another kind of strike in the, do we really have a plan? Or are we just doing things kind of scattershot as they become available, as they become apparent? It feels like something that a little bit of planning might have been able to get us out of. And, right. Clearly Fulmer is fine. The Fennec article talked about how, by the way, Fennec used the word thrice in his article about this.
Yeah, good for him. That's a strong word.
I immediately thought of you, so I don't know what that says about you. I'm like, oh, Eric would probably love that.
I do. I love the word thrice.
But
like, almost as much as penultimate.
penultimate is an underused word. Yeah, but I don't know. Just – there's a lot going on with Fulmer when it comes to his injuries and the contract situation. I would just like to have seen them be like, you know what, we're going to take care of you and just get that little bit of goodwill. And I don't, it's just such a, there's nothing really feel good about the Tigers right now. Had we been able to take care of one of the faces of the franchise like that, I don't know. I think there was $600,000 worth in doing that. But,
here's a fun exercise. Don't overthink about it too much, but start from the very best player and work your way down. Just mention their name, and then I will provide some kind of comment. So who is the Tigers' very best player?
Miguel Cabrera.
Coming off a biceps injury and only had 100 and some at-bats last year. Okay, who's the second best player?
Nick Castellanos.
He is the subject of swirling trade rumors.
Actively trying to get traded, yes.
Right. Okay, who's the third best player?
Michael Fulmer.
Have this knee brace on his knee and has this arbitration hearing situation. What's our fourth best player?
Probably Candelario? I mean, it gets real murky after three.
All right, I would say Candelario too. Nothing too crazy with Candelario. I think he's probably positioned to be the best, but he was worked to death last year.
Yeah.
And
broke down because of it.
Right. Zimmerman has injury issues. Norris has, kind of confidence coming back from injury issues. I mean, so it's not a, we don't have even a handful of really good players who are, oh yeah, free and clear and good to go. I mean, you got to get to a guy like, Jordy Mercer, I guess, is going to be pretty solid, and you can just put him there. I mean,
because the bar for Jordy Mercer is 220 and good defense. Right. Literally anybody can do that.
I'm just saying, like, our top half dozen players all have just kind of question marks. That's not always so good.
No, I don't think there's any scenario where that's good.
Right. Of our starting pitchers, really only Boyd is somebody who you feel kind of confident and trustworthy.
And the question mark with Boyd is how far above just bang average is he actually? Right. Like, yep. It's not like there isn't a question. It's just not a, is he going to make starts question, I guess.
I don't want to poo-poo too much because it's spring training. And we're the sunshiners of the group. But if you look at our starting pitching, we could go from a bad team to a extremely bad team. in the snap of a finger.
We definitely could. And I, you know, loathe to be the guy who is the sunshine, but there is a little bit of hope of going from a bad team to maybe not so bad if everything clicks for what is, you know, undoubtedly a fairly talented, if, you know, inconsistent group.
Okay. I'm prepared to be happy. It's spring.
Yeah. The only other thing I have with this is arbitration is just such a weird construct. Like, I'm going to trash one of my own players to try and save myself a little bit of money. Like, I know it's the practice. That is what happens. It's just whoever thought of that has kind of a sixth sense of whatever. Let's move on.
That is peculiar.
Matt Moore's wife had their child. It was on Thursday, a Valentine's baby. Now, we've had a shocking amount of baby stories in spring training since we've started doing this show, and it seems like we've seen them take the careers of the fathers in vastly different directions. You'll remember a couple years ago, obviously, Castellanos became a father and gained this new outlook on life and baseball, and that's the sole reason that his bat has broken out over the last couple years. But then there was the fiasco regarding the birth of Kyle Ryan's kid. Do you remember that, like?
Last year, the
year before?
Can you refresh my memory?
So his wife had the kid, I think, in Tampa, and he had to – I don't remember exactly. I'm sure somebody in our mentions will. But he had to, like, drive 24 hours straight, and I want to say he missed some parts of spring training or whatever. And obviously that sent his career into an absolute spiral. He was never the same again. Do you see the birth of Baby Moore revitalizing his career like Castellanos or dooming it like Kyle Ryan?
So I tried to get to some evidence one way or the other on this, and I tried to write an article, a blog post, that was a few years ago, because Phil Koch was having a child, well, his wife was, and, you know, I was profoundly interested in this to try to see
as one would be,
because I looked at Dustin Pedroia and a bunch of other people who had babies, thinking, oh yeah, this is going to be a thing where it's either going to make them better or whatever. But the evidence was all over the place. I think there's literally zero correlation.
Were you approached about being the godfather of this child?
I think that would be appropriate, but no, I was not.
Okay. Huh. I'm assuming.
And
that...
also I'm extremely Protestant. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think that's how godfathers work. Is it? I don't know.
I don't know. I thought you just picked whoever you would want to raise the kid if both of you died. Isn't that how godparents work?
Isn't that like a Catholic thing?
I don't know.
I don't even know. I have no idea.
Let's move on. In broadcasting news, our broadcast colleague, our good friend, Mario Mpemba, has landed with the Red Sox in their radio booth. Good move for Mario.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he is with the best, probably going to be team in the league, and he's got I don't want to say limited, but a reduced schedule from what he had with the Tigers. He's mixed in a, I'll call it a platoon. Should we call it a platoon?
he only calls games when there's a right-handed starter. Yeah,
something like that. He's right back to work, and he's with Dave Dombrowski, so I think he landed on his feet there.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, being gainfully employed is always good, but...
Right.
I was gonna... I originally typed the phrase falling upwards, but, I mean, it's not exactly like he fell. There was mitigating circumstances. He is a Boston-quality broadcaster. You know, whether...
Whatever. But it's not a full-time gig either.
That's true. So,
I think there's a little prestige with being kind of the flag bearer broadcaster for a club.
The voice of whatever. Yeah, I would agree with that.
You're right. I think there's some panache there. And he doesn't have that exclusively with the Red Sox. But I think it's still a pretty good gig for him.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my immediate thought of Boston is, ew, Boston, you know, and racist. But yeah, it will be good for him to be around a winner. It's been a while for old Mario.
Yeah.
What do you
think about Rod? Will Rod get a job?
I can't see it. I mean, he's more destined, I think, to go back into the coaching or instructing side of the game than I think he would be broadcasting.
Yeah, I think it'll be a little tougher for him to find a job.
And from everything we've read, so it should be.
Yeah. But he had probably the most promise of the two for a while because he was getting games on Big Fox.
That's mostly, you know, in my opinion, because Big Fox never actually watches the regional Foxes and just, yeah, he's interesting. Let's go with him. I think if anyone had
Rob did a handful of games for Big Fox.
Yeah, I remember. It was a terrible choice then, and it would be a terrible choice now. Do you want to get into the Castellanos trade request, or is this, I mean, I feel like it's kind of played news at this point.
Yeah, you know, I guess I didn't realize I was looking at it, but it became a story when he showed up to camp, but I think he did a pretty good job of diffusing it. He said all the right quotes about it being a business, and I thought it was fair for his agent to say, hey, if you're going to trade my guy, I'd like you to do it as soon as possible. I mean, let you get settled into a new club. So yeah. I don't think that was ridiculous on the agent's part. I think Nick handled it well. I think if any eyebrows were raised, it was Avila saying, hey, you know, there's no value there. Sorry, Nick.
Yeah, absolutely.
He didn't say it like that.
Here's the thing. Here's my hot take on the situation. It's not like Nick came out and Anthony Davis, hey, please trade me. He's saying, if you're going to do it, which realistically speaking, we're going to at some point, if you're going to do it, please do it before spring training. So like you say, I can get settled.
And it was through his agent. He wasn't going around in the clubhouse and doing it that way. I mean, he let his business representative represent his business interests, which I think is the right way to do it.
Yeah. And I would never have issue with it. Like, Nick, it's your career. You know, get your money, get whatever you want out of your career. I'm not here to judge that. But even I thought, or, you know, there's nothing wrong. I mean, we will still support Nick. He's you know, terrible fielder, but we definitely like him.
Right. It'll be fascinating to see what kind of contract he gets. I mean, he was talking about Nick Markakis. You got a 1-year deal with the Braves, I believe, is about $6 million total. And Markakis finished third in the National League in hitting last year.
He's also 35, though. I mean, it's not exactly a like-for-like comparison.
No, it's not. But it tells you the bargains that some guys are going for.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, at this point in their career, Nick has a little more pop. But they are actually fairly similar. It's a halfway decent comp. All right, we both wrote down some players that we will be looking forward to watching in spring training, you know, kind of monitoring the box scores to see, oh, how'd this player do today? How'd this player do today?
Yep.
Do you want to jump into that now?
Yeah, so my number one choice is going to be Kristen Stewart.
Really? Okay.
I'm really interested to see how he does, because he doesn't have a lot of a long track record. You know, We kind of know what we have in Kristen Stewart, but for me, it's like, is that power bat going to be there for him? And we saw flashes of it the end of last year and obviously throughout the minors. But in spring, is he going to have that? Is he going to be able to carry that big bat into the regular season? We know doesn't have a lot of defensive prowess, right? He kind of stinks.
Don't say that to Lynn.
Right. I'm paying attention to him. How
cool.
About you?
After this whole Chris McCoskey, Keith Law thing, I think the guy I'm most interested in is Victor Reyes. I'm very curious.
That's who I have written down second on my list too.
McCoskey,
for sure.
You know, we'll actually get into this later because Keenan from Minor League Tigers Minor League Tracker asked us to weigh in on this. But McCoskey seems to think that he's bulked up and he's made a big jump. And obviously, the one thing we've made fun of consistently with right. Victor Reyes is that he's he looks good in batting practice. You know, I don't hold the opinion of all of the beat writers real highly, but I am curious to see what he sees in Victor Reyes. Like, he does make a valid point. This is a young kid who wouldn't have been playing at the big league level. Obviously, right. we saw him be not very good, but we also saw him make some fairly significant strides. And we're not overflowing with talent in the outfield. If he can turn into a decent big league player, that would be super, super helpful. So he's number one on my list.
Yep. Ages are a funny thing. Victor Reyes is 24. And you think, oh, you know, for a prospect, he's kind of old. But you look at Candelario is only 25. You look at Jake Rogers and you think, oh, boy, yeah, Jake Rogers, he's just a baby. You know, he's maybe our catching guy of the future. Jake Rogers is 24.
Yeah.
You and know,
it seems like Vic is a young 24, at least experience wise.
Well, yeah, I would say so. But he had, it felt like he never really had any good years in the minors, and then he had a bad year last year in the majors. But at the end of last year, he showed some flashes, and maybe it just took him a while to mature and get here, and now maybe it's his time. I don't know.
I hope so. I mean, it would be super helpful.
But he looked lost at the plate for long portions of the season.
For sure. I don't necessarily hold out a ton of hope, but that. It would be very helpful.
Okay.
Back to you.
Back to me. Another guy I'm interested in watching in camp, and we'll see how much playing time he gets, is Daz Cameron. Mm-hmm. Because he's got so much promise. He's young. He's 22 years old. He's kind of the center fielder of the future, I feel like. And he tore it up in Double A last year. Daz Cameron, I'd be interested to see.
Yeah, I feel like he's probably the most fun name. You know, when I'm down there, that's the guy that I will hope to always see in the second unit. I mean, he's the one that's going to provide the fun. My second name, and I will admit it, I'm a complete sucker. It's Daniel Norris.
Sure.
I just can't quit him. Every time he shows up in spring training, I'm like, oh, he looks locked in. I think this is the year. Here's the thing. He's probably a bullpen piece. He's probably, you know, I'm not even going to say that he's in the Andrew Miller mold, but fastball slider, those are two helpful pitches for him. But I refuse to give up on him as a starter, at least without one more chance. There's just too much talent there. I will be watching each of his starts, or I guess relief appearances potentially, with very high interest. I want it so bad for him. He seems like such a good dude. And there's so much talent there. It feels like we're approaching sunk cost on him, and it would just be such a waste of talent if we didn't get the return that we kind of thought we were going to when we made that trade.
Yep. No, he's a fascinating dude. My last one is Jamer Candelario.
Okay.
I brought him up already. And I'm kind of tacking him on because you stole Reyes. For Candelario, I think he's just had so many at-bats. Hopefully he's kind of like a pitcher who, you know, has been through that big first long season and kind of hopefully has adapted to that. And he's comfortable in his spots. And like I said, I think he's the top 5, 6, 7 player in our team. Like, he's got to carry some water for us. It'll be interesting to see how he does settling into spring training if it comes back for him. So
I'd agree with that. My last one is in the Anthony Ghost mode. I want to see Caleb Cowart this spring. Oh, sure. It's, you know, I don't really think there's anything there, but it is, you know, baseball is a quirky game. And when there's something fun and quirky going on, like somebody trying to both hit and pitch, you have my attention. It's the structured version of an animal on the field. I will be tuned in. Like I said, there's nothing
there.
That's a good call. He will not make the team as both a, you know, hitter and pitcher, but it would be cool if he did.
He's not like discount Ohtani, you're saying.
he's discount. He's like Ollie's Ohtani.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. So, one more thing before we get to power rankings. My buddy Matt Koslerich, at M Koslerich on Twitter, talented graphic designer also. He, tweeted in, he wants our power rankings of minor league team names.
Okay.
So
are we doing this draft style? Is that what we decided?
Sure. Yeah, I'm good with that. Why don't we just go every other as opposed to doing snake draft style? So
of course. Okay. Okay. So, you, I went first last time. You better go first.
Okay. With the first pick, I, of course, take the Rocket City Trash Pandas. This is the team that's...
Wow.
I don't know where... I don't know where whose they are or where they're coming to. But, you're throwing a raccoon and we're calling it a trash panda. I am in 1,000% of the time. I love the hats. I need one. I'm all in on the trash pandas.
Strong pick. Definitely going with the new trend of quirky, clever animal mashup name.
There is a non-zero chance that that's where the majority of mine are going to come from. Just heads up.
Well, I better get mine in here. I'm changing up my draft strategy because I want to get in ahead of you on this one. And my number one or two, I don't think you're gonna take. So I'm gonna go ahead and get in the Amarillo Sod Poodles.
Yeah, that was a wise choice. That probably would have been number two.
I gotta get that ahead of you. The Sod Poodles is a pretty strong name.
Definitely. I also factored in just kind of the overall branding on these teams in addition to the team name.
The logos and such.
Logos, colors, etc. Like, I'm fairly big on that. With my second pick, this is I don't know exactly how new, but the Hartford Yard Goats. They're AA of the Rockies, yep. I believe. The Yard Goat hat is en fuego. It is so cool. I like their color scheme and the yard goats. I know it's some sort of like lumber yard or rail yard.
It's a railroad.
Some sort of reference to that, which I really dig. So that's why I went with yard goats with my second pick.
So with my pick, I'm going just for straight up value here. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to cut ahead of you. To me, the highest team on my board is the Savannah Bananas. I have to take the Savannah Bananas here.
So that's going out of the
organized pyramid. Yeah. I think it's independent ball, but you have the rhyming, which is good,
always good,
and they're bananas. And they you talk about color schemes and such. They rock these yellow uniforms. They're so good.
There's no other options when you're named the Bananas.
The Savannah Bananas is really strong. That's who I want.
So let's see, this is the third round. With my third round pick, I'm going to take the Myrtle Beach Pelicans. I've actually been to the stadium at Myrtle Beach. Are you serious? You don't like the Myrtle Beach Pelicans?
Dude, come on.
For one.
There's so much more better ones.
Pelicans are the best bird out there, hands down. It's a regal creature. So here's the deal. Like, I have a class of birds that I call fancy birds. So you have fancy birds and regular birds. Pelicans are the fanciest of the fancy birds. Plus, you have like a light blue and yellow scheme. I mean, how does it get better than that?
It doesn't bother you that the NBA has the Pelicans?
No. Pelicans are a good enough bird that we can go ahead and share that.
You can double it up.
Plus, it's a very, I don't know, it feels like a very minor league Z type of team name.
All right, fine. Okay, I'm taking with the third round the Montgomery Biscuits.
Yeah, that's a very I definitely would have picked you to pick that one. Yeah.
What are you saying? It's a very, very me choice. It's a food, and the logo is awesome because it's just like an ogling smirking biscuit.
Buttered biscuit. Yeah.
It's terrific. Like, if you play for the biscuits, yeah. I was a biscuit. In my days as a biscuit, that's so good. That's what I want. Montgomery Biscuits.
All right, let's see.
All right, what do you got?
With my next pick, I'm going to stay a little closer to home. It's obviously a team we discuss a lot, but if you really break it down, like, the Toledo Mud Hens is a pretty dope name.
Yep.
They have great colors. I love the leaf hat. It's hard to go, and it's the oldest, I don't know, whatever, minor league team out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a bad choice.
That's my fourth round
pick. I can't root that too much. My fourth round pick is going to be the Biloxi Shuckers. I love the Shuckers as a name.
Yeah, it's quality.
Because it's regional, it's topical, because they shuck the oysters or whatever.
Sure.
And it's just that it's fun to say. Shuckers.
Oh, so I got two left on my list as far as who I want to take with my last one. I think
we might as well keep going. We'll speed rounds here.
Okay. My next one, I'll take the Bradenton Marauders.
What? It's dumb.
What? No, it's not.
What the heck's a marauder?
A marauder is another word for a pirate or a buccaneer or...
Okay, yeah, I get it.
Have you seen the logo? It's sweet. Come on.
There's so much more stronger names. All right, whatever, marauders is fine. It's good choice, all.
Such derision.
It's fine. All right, I'm going with the Binghamton Rumble Ponies.
That sucks. That's cheesy.
That's a good name, the Rumble Ponies.
I guess with the last one, I might as well stay even closer to home. The Traverse City Pit Spitters.
The Pit Spitters. It's pretty strong.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take then the El Paso Chihuahuas. That's who I want.
It's not bad. Not bad at all.
Honorable mention, I had ready the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp.
Yeah, I like that one.
The New Orleans Baby Cakes.
That's quality.
The Dayton Rubber Ducks.
Yeah.
The Richmond Flying Squirrels.
That's good.
And the Albuquerque Isotopes.
I like that one. I also like the Omaha.
Which got its name from the Simpsons episode, which makes it special.
Does it? Does it?
Sure.
All right.
Simpsons got renewed. They get more Simpsons.
I just kind of assume that the Simpsons will always be on.
Forever, yeah. All right, that was fun.
Let's move on to your...
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Power rankings.
Power rankings. Before we started the podcast, we had a little banter, Jordan.
We did.
And I told you that I am going to be heading south to the happiest place on earth, and that is the joy-filled terrain of Disney World. You know, I'm packing all my dad items. I got my New Balance shoes and my curvy brim hat, my fat wallet. I'm ready to go to Disney. I've been thinking and packing.
Yeah, so I took you up on this use of the word fat wallet. Is this just a humble brag that your wallet is just so full of money? Is that where all the Spotify money has gone?
Aren't you a Seinfeld guy?
Yeah, okay, yeah. George.
It's just like oversized, okay. Like you can't sit on it.
All right,
you
know? That's, I mean...
It's got too many receipts and gift cards.
To be honest, I kind of figured I just wanted to give you some guff about you bragging about how big your wallet is.
You know, when you only carry hundreds, you don't need that much space. This is how I roll. So in honor of my pilgrimage, the Great American Pilgrimage to Disney World, I have for you the top 7 and bottom 3 Disney films.
Okay. All right.
Or I should be more clear. These are theatrical animated features.
Yeah. All right. What Disney is really about.
We're talking about animated films here.
Okay, cool. All right. This is a good topic.
This has been a topic that has not been without controversy. I feel like about 6-7 months ago, there was these brackets floating around where people were filling out their Disney bracket. And there's just very popular.
People love it
for a while.
Control yourself with the brackets.
Yeah. Right. So
we don't sound super old at all.
Yeah, stop having fun and having joy with things, please. Calm down. All right, so here we go. We're going to start at number 7, and that is Beauty and the Beast.
Okay, that's cool. I got to be honest with you. I don't think I've ever seen Beauty and the Beast.
What?
Dude, I was a boy. Still am.
Hey, Beauty and the Beast is the tale as old as time, as old as rhyme. Okay, it's got good songs. It won big awards. It won like Academy Awards, one of the few ones that did it.
If there's no people in it, they shouldn't be able to win awards. That's ridiculous. People who acted in movies are probably like, dang, we lost to this drawing?
Act better then.
Okay, that's fair. I'll give you that one. Okay.
Beauty and the Beast was kind of early in the big Disney renaissance. It was an important film. I watched a lot of this as a kid because my little sister was into it. So
sure,
a lot of Beauty and
little
the Beast.
Sister.
Yeah. All right, you know, I watched, you know, There Goes the Baker with His Tray, like always. Sable Bread and Bocusel. Watched a lot of Beauty and the Beast. Okay, number six is Emperor's New Groove.
Yes.
This one is just plain fun.
Yes.
It drops a lot of the pretense of trying to tell a fancy story and is just about having fun. It's a true cartoon.
Yes.
And I like
it. It is the most underrated Disney movie out there. Kronk is the best Disney character ever.
Even David Spade couldn't ruin it.
No.
It's still pretty good.
Yeah. No, I think that is probably in the top five of my most quoted movies just overall.
The poison. The Cusco's poison. That little bit always cracks me up. The poison for Cusco. Number five is Wall-E. Wall-E I find to be both beautiful and a very poignant story about a variety of different kind of almost philosophical kind of topics, you know?
Sure.
And it's just fun.
Definitely gotta take your word on that one.
The love story, it's touching, it's charming. Wall-E is very good.
All right.
Number four is Toy Story. So many good classic characters. It was really kind of groundbreaking for the animation that it did. And I think it still holds up. Toy Story is still a pretty good film.
Tom Hanks is kind of a doofus in that movie. He's such a brown noser.
Yeah, well, he's in character. That's kind of what Woody is supposed to be like.
I have a hard time with Tom Hanks. If I never saw him in another movie, I'd be cool with that.
Man, the biggest Tom Hanks thing was the film where they had the Somali pirates. Mm-hmm. I forget what it's called.
I am the captain now. That one.
Yeah, that one. And there's a scene where they rescue him and he is in like the recovery area or whatever. And he just loses it and he breaks down. And it was one of the most emotionally charged like acting jobs that I had ever seen. I thought that scene was incredible by Tom Hanks.
You sure you didn't just need to suck it up?
Oh, maybe. So what did I say? Oh, Toy Story is four. Number three is The Incredibles. The Incredibles is a terrific movie, animated or not. I mean, it's got really fun themes. It's not even a kid's movie. It just holds up as a fun action movie all on its own.
I haven't seen any of that. I feel like you're banking heavy on these new ones that I haven't seen. But
dude, watch a movie. I know they're too long for you,
yes.
But try sometime.
Okay. Anyway, keep going.
Number two for me is Ratatouille. I love Ratatouille. I think it's charming and fun. I think it tells an interesting underdog story.
The underdog is the rat who learns to cook?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
One of my favorite characters in all of Disney movies is Anton Ego. He's kind of a villain, but not a villain. He's just perfect. That's my favorite character.
Okay.
Anton Ego. Number one, you want to guess?
I don't know. Lion King?
Yes, it is. Absolutely the Lion King. Yeah, the finest Disney movie. This is the Disney movie I've probably seen the most. One time we were driving back from spring break, and we had a conversion minivan back in the day with a regular tube TV and a VCR, and we had one VHS along with us. Guess what? Lion King. And I had to have watched that movie probably 10 times on that trip alone.
How did you end up with just one movie? Like, whose terrible planning was that?
Yeah, my mother's.
Yikes. Yeah. Man, I would have assumed she had a little bit more planning skills than that.
Well, I don't know if it was that or maybe just my siblings wanted to watch Lion King over and over.
Oh, okay.
So evidently, Lion King is basically an animal ripoff of Hamlet. But if you're going to rip off something, Mines will make it Shakespeare. Yeah, mines will make it good.
Mines will go big.
Right. Right. If you're going to be Greta Van Fleet and rip off a rock band, you might as well make it Led Zeppelin, right? Might as well pick rip off something good.
That is a reference that I completely understand and know what you're talking about.
There'll be people out there who enjoy that.
I'm sure there will.
Or I'll get angry tweets about Greta Van Fleet.
That more sounds accurate.
Yeah, right. Okay, worst ones. The third from the worst is Song of the South. This one is kind of buried in the Disney vaults because it's problematic, as the kids say.
I was going to say, it sounds super racist if it's old.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got some issues. It's got some issues. And I'm not going to dig into all of them and argue with people about the racism or non-racism of Song of the South. But there's a reason Disney is not releasing this thing.
Yeah, Walt was from a different era. Let's put it that way.
It certainly was. And it maybe not good. Okay, number two is one that is pretty popular, but I can't stand. And that's Fantasia. Fantasia is animated to just these songs. There's no text or anything. Mm-hmm. And Mickey's like, there's Hall of the Mountain King with brooms and stuff like that. And I never got it. I hated it.
It's so trippy. It's like, what stoner teen came up with this crap?
Yeah, maybe marijuana would help the enjoyment of it.
Maybe. Certainly couldn't hurt.
But as a child, I was not partaking in the drugs.
At least not as much.
So maybe it needs some fresh eyes. I don't know. But Fantasia, I always thought was trash. Okay, the number one worst Disney movie. You got to guess. It's going to be topical here again soon.
Frozen?
No, Frozen is fine. Whatever.
Okay. Well, anyway.
The worst Disney movie is Dumbo. Dumbo. This movie, like, scarred me as a child. I hate clowns. I hate circuses. And here's this, like, scared elephant with, like, freakish ears, and his mother's, like, abandoning. And it's so sad and miserable and convoluted. And Dumbo is the worst Disney movie, and it's not even close. And now they're coming out with a live-action version of it. I won't watch this if you paid me. It's awful. I don't want any Dumbo in my life. It's trash. That was Power Rankings.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
Robin Hood and Little John walking through the forest, laughing back and forth at what the others got to say.
I'm just going to clip that little bit now. Okay, let's...
Lollygaga, what a day.
Let's get to Twitter questions. Let's see, I haven't seen anything on the side of the road. It's still winter. I have nothing to add.
And Meyer's, tell us, do you have horror stories from Meyer?
I don't know that I've been to Meyer in the last week.
Oh.
So.
You got to do some things, Hall.
Yeah. I went tubing this weekend. Does that count for something? It's the first time I'd ever been.
Did you get hurt?
No. How do you?
Was it fun?
It was fun. See, here's the thing. Like, I've hid from outside winter sports my entire life because in Michigan it's cold. But it's so much better than skiing. All you do is either sit on your back, you know, on your butt or on your stomach, and they push you. Like, that's all there is to it. You don't have to try and keep yourself up and go back and forth and then try and stop. You just slide. Like,
I bet you like to bowl with the bumpers in too, don't you?
Actually, my favorite part of it was the, you know, how they hook you to the thing and it pulls you backwards up the hill. That was pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
I'm more of a relaxed, look at the view type of recreationer.
Sounds lazy.
Yeah, whatever. All right, Twitter questions. Last week, if you submitted a question and we don't get to it, it's because we've had a lot and spring training is long, so we're rationing them. First one comes in from @flyin_DutchmanX. What is the best food at Comerica Park?
Nachos, brisket nachos.
Actually, I'm going nachos too, but I'm going shawarma. Legitimately, some of the best Indian food I've had. Or Middle Eastern food, whatever I've had anywhere. Like, it is really, really good. The new Little Caesars Arena has one, too. Not quite as good. Still worth eating. But, yeah, definitely.
Have you had the Coney Dog pizza?
No, that's not really my jam, though.
No, same. Samesies.
It is. I will. Let's get into this a little bit. I will say that the Little Caesars pizza at Comerica is 1,000 times better than Little Caesars pizza literally anywhere else.
You know, I thought the same thing, and I didn't know if it was just, you know, the context, the ambiance, or if it was significantly better pizza.
The main difference is that Little Caesars pizza at Comerica is actually pizza as opposed to whatever it is when it's served at other Little Caesars locations.
Ah, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Have you seen the commercials for the pretzel crust with the nacho cheese sauce?
Like, no.
So it actually looks really good, and anywhere else I'd try it. But you know, coming from Little Caesars, it's just straight up trash.
A little sketch.
Probably make you sick. But
yeah.
Next one, Peter, who is at Frogtown Tigers. What is the minimum amount of games one must watch in a bad season to be an air quotes true fan?
I don't think you have to watch any. I'm going to answer this question seriously, even though it probably dignifies a ridiculous answer. But I'll be kind of serious about it. And you don't have to watch any. You know, if the Tigers were putting out there a terrific product and you weren't interested in it, I'd say, oh, you're not, you know, really a fan or whatever. But they're putting out there some substandard products.
That's a fair take. I have a different take. Here's the thing. There's no such thing as a true fan. You're
right.
Fan however you want. If you want to watch none and call yourself a fan, that's fine. If you want to watch 162 games, I mean, you really need to reevaluate your priorities, but that's fine too. You're definitely a true, like, just watch and consume content, Tigers, whatever, in whatever way you want, except for this podcast, which you should at least download every week.
This is required.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. David Ham at David J. Ham says, welcome back. The new AAF is using some different rules from college and NFL football. Are there any possible baseball rule changes you would want to see tried in spring training games or minor league baseball?
I'm not terrible. Oh, here's one. I thought about, I would say that the batter does not need to have both feet in the box. When the umpire points to the pitcher or yells play ball or some other signal, the pitcher is free to deliver the ball.
Yeah, I can, as a former pitcher, I can 100% get behind that. Yeah, absolutely.
To me, it's a pace of play thing. Yep. So, you know, if you want to, you know, stretch your arm and have one foot in and one. No, none of that shenanigans. The umpire says, it takes a look at him. Okay, he's kind of ready. Play ball, you know, does the finger point to the pitcher. Mm-hmm. He's free to deliver the ball. It's a small change, but I think would be a healthy one.
Yeah, I like that. I can't say, I feel like I got into this last week, but I love the quirky, unpredictable, kind of kitschy manner of baseball. Like, I want all of the traditional stuff to stick around. I don't want pitchers to feel rushed if they want to step off four times before they deliver each pitch. You know, that's part of their method. Like, I'm very traditional like that. I don't necessarily super want to see any rules clock changed. But I'm definitely in favor of trying things in spring if you're going to try something. Because it doesn't matter.
How do you feel about starting a runner at second?
Like in extras?
In extras.
Not a huge fan. But, I mean, there are worse ways that Manfred will possibly try and destroy baseball. That's not necessarily, like, the worst one. So,
right.
You know, I guess you gotta pick and choose your battles.
How about we go back to the old rule where you're allowed to soak the runners? Basically, if you get the ball and you throw it at somebody at the base pass and hit them, they're out.
Oh, like kickball rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I could get behind. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a pitcher 100 yeah. miles an hour throwing it at a dude's chest? Oh,
it could get painful. Jennifer Cozy asks at Viva Tigres, Miggy's cut off sweatshirt sleeves or his assertion that he might steal a base this year, preferably home. Do you see the pictures of him in it?
I have not. Assume I'm envisioning what it is though.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we've said this before, but Mickey looks like he's in good shape. I mean, he looks healthy and he looks swole and not puffy. Like,
he's gonna steal a base this year for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's if healthy, he almost does stuff like that for fun.
Just for his own amusement.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Next one. Oh, go ahead.
For strategic reasons. No, for levity.
No, it'll be up 6 runs in the 5th inning of a game on Wednesday in the middle of June.
And he'll just get a walking start. And yeah. Just doop-doop-doop-doop. Nobody will pay attention, and he'll just be on 3rd.
And we'll all go like, oh, Miggy, he's just a big kid.
He's just such an intuitive base runner. You'll hear some BS like that.
Oh, boy. Todd at Wertent says, Luckies versus Costco. Now, I feel like this is – do you guys have a Luckies down in Grand Rapids?
I have no idea what Luckies is.
Really? We have something up here that you don't have. That is fantastic. So Luckies is a grocery store. It's comparable to Trader Joe's, I would say.
Oh, okay.
They have a lot of produce, a lot of organic produce, lots of bulk, and they have a great not deli. Yeah, I guess deli. And what's the place where you can get, like, fresh fish and that kind of stuff? What's that called?
Fishmonger?
Not that fresh. Like, you know, where you can get your butcher. I guess butcher. Butcher fish. Butcher.
Meat market?
Fish. Yeah, meat market. Anyway. But it's kind of, you know, a little bit more not upscale, but just it's clean and nice. It's a little more trendy and stuff. And obviously, it's a very different store than Costco. But they both give out samples, which I'm a big fan of.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, you go to Costco for bulk, you go to Lucky's for
class.
For class, yeah, for good produce and for good meat. Yeah. I think the real question is Costco versus Sam's.
Oh, for me it's Costco for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Sam's. Have you had the Costco pizza?
Yes.
Costco pizza is legit fire emoji. It's actually good.
Yeah. I'm amazed. I get to Costco every week. And I'm always stunned by the number of people in their food court.
Yeah.
Eating.
Yeah, it's why insane. Not? It's good food and it's dirt cheap.
It's cheap. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Last one. And I've saved this for last because it's the most interesting. Keenan at Tigers_lifers. Gonna need you to pick sides in the McCoskey Law feud. Do you want to fill people in? Are you woke to this?
No, is this about Victor Reyes?
It is the most mundane thing for a national and a local beat writer to argue about.
But was Law saying he's trash and McCoskey says he's something or vice versa?
So McCoskey said, rando prediction that one of the most important players on the Tigers roster in a couple of years is going to be Victor Reyes.
Oh, jeez. And
I don't remember exactly how it got escalated, but... McCoskey
Law was basically just like, nah.
McCoskey, this is what happened. McCoskey said, you guys, you twidiots, for, you know, Twitter idiots, forget that he would have been at AA or possibly AAA had he not been a Rule 5 pick. And then Law said,
true.
Which is probably true. No, he hit too well at AA the year before he was a Rule 5 pick. He for sure would have went up to AAA. And then McCoskey said, you didn't see him at camp that year. He was terrible. There's no way they would have moved him up to AAA. And then, I don't know, something. And McCoskey at one point said, oh, I forgot about your all-knowing omniscience, to Keith Law. And then they kind of went back and forth with slightly personal attacks. So that's pretty much it. It was, I mean,
okay.
It is exactly how an argument about Victor Reyes would unfold.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me lay my cards on the table here.
Mm-hmm.
I do not find Keith Law to be a particularly appealing or charming person. I he's just kind of not the kind of person you'd like to hang around.
He's surly. I mean,
He's self-righteous and pretentious and a know-it-all, shall we say.
Yep.
Now, having said that, he often has good information and is not wrong about things, which is infuriating.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much the same take. I really don't like Keith Law. He is, like you say, a tough follow.
Yeah.
But as I alluded to before, McCoskey is not...
He's not going to back down either.
No.
He's kind of, he suffers from some puffed chest too, I dare say.
Yes. And he's the Lynn Henning school
of confidence, shall we say.
Definitely agree with that. Yeah.
So this is too, This is two like rams or like gorillas bumping chests into each other. It's like unproductive.
And when allegedly like informed people are arguing about Victor Reyes, I think we all just end up losing.
It's Victor Reyes. He was a Rule 5. Maybe he'll break out and be something awesome. But if he was in AAA last year, just imagine he wasn't a Rule 5 pick. He was in AAA and put up a mediocre season. Would anybody be paying any attention or saying anything about him at all?
We would not. No.
No. No.
No.
Even right. So it's like, just relax.
I will say I am like I said before, I'm significantly more interested in Victor Reyes this spring because of this whole interaction.
Yeah.
So I guess we all are winners in the end.
That's right.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericaEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinio4, Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And help us make that Skrilla by taking the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. Eric, good show. Anything else to say, people, before we get out of here?
Yeah, I'm regretting not putting Robin Hood in my top seven.
It's Disney okay. Films. You also sang some of it, so I think that evens it out.
I promised there would be no singing in the podcast. Sorry, friends.
Did you?
Well, I'm just breaking all the promises. It's fine.
Okay.
I'll do whatever I want. I'm a man of my own desires. Whatever.
That sounds very dirty. With that being said, we will catch you guys next week and eat 'em up, tigers, eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.